What's going on? What's going on, my friends? This is Alex Pardo, and you're listening to the Flip Empire Show, episode 148.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, what's going on? Appreciate you tuning in for another masterclass here on the Flip Empire Show. I'm excited about this show as I am with all the others, but I got a close friend of mine, one of the guys that I've probably known the longest in this industry. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I've known Trevor Mock, who I'm going to bring on the show here in a couple of minutes. So I've known Trevor probably about 5-6 years, but Trevor's somebody that, you know, I've just quickly and easily built up a friendship with him. He's probably one of the most genuine, sincere, down-to-earth dudes that I know. And you know, it's incredible to see how he's taken his company Carrot in just a short time, in the last maybe 3-4 years, how he's built it up to a super, super successful software as a service business with thousands of customers. You know, they provide real estate investor websites and agent websites that help generate leads online. You know, and they're the best in the business. I've been a customer of theirs for probably since the beginning, about good 4 years now, I wanna say. And Trevor started out really as a real estate investor, and so he knows this game. He talks the lingo. He's bought and sold properties, but he really found his calling as an entrepreneur. And you know, now he provides a service that real estate investors and agents can really benefit from, including myself. And it's just super cool how, you know, Trevor has kind of pumpkin planned his business and his life. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's a book called The Pumpkin Plan, which I highly recommend you guys check it out. Probably one of my top 5 to 10 books. And yeah, Trevor's just a super cool guy. I think we had him on here. If you guys, I'll include the link in the show notes page, but he was probably one of the first 15 episodes we had here on the Flip Empire Show. And now he's back for round two. And, you know, one of the things that we're going to be really diving into today is something that, you know, I know the phrase, take your business to the next level, all that kind of stuff is totally overused and it sounds super hypey. And while this may not sound sexy, I truly believe this can be the difference between a good business and a highly insanely successful business. And we're really talking about what you can do to cut through the clutter and stand out from the crowd, stand out from your competition. You know, you're gonna see here in a quick minute or two, once Trevor and I start talking, that everybody and their mom offers the same thing as far as, you know, we buy houses with cash, we close on your timeline, there's no fees or commissions, we pay your closing costs. Everybody does that. And the truth of the matter is that I really believe that it's just that kind of noise is getting lost in the shuffle. And whether you know it or not, you're losing out on opportunities and deals that you can have if you implement a lot of what we talk about in this show, or damn, even some of what we talk about in this show. If you could just implement a few things that, you know, can position yourself to offer a service or stand out from what everybody else is doing, I'm confident in saying that, you know, you're going to help grow your business. You're going to impact more people's lives. And, you know, one of the things that I quickly realized is towards the end of this interview, I kind of had an aha moment as far as how we're operating and what we're doing in our business. And I really started to ask myself some of those tough questions, like, what can we do better and how can we stand out from everybody else who's buying houses? And part of it really has me thinking about a radical shift in how we communicate with sellers and how we approach what we do. And let me introduce you to my little one, Alessia, who's coming in here as my wife is about to change her. So this episode really opened my eyes. You know, I'm fortunate that I get to connect with some awesome people like Trevor. And every now, not every now and then, I always pick up something, but every now and then something's really eye popping and it really gets me thinking about what I can do better and how I can operate and play at a higher level, not only in business, but in life, you know, and in helping others. And this show really did that for me. And I hope it comes across, does that for you. And it really kind of hits you between the eyes. So, you know, probably nothing else to say, but to just jump right into it. Appreciate you joining. Here's Trevor Mock. Trevor, what's up, dude? How are you, man?
Alex, man, doing amazing. And thanks for the re-invite on the podcast, man. Excited to be here.
Yeah, brother. You are one of maybe a handful of people at most that have come back for round two. And I really appreciate it, man, because we were talking about this prior to hitting the record here. And, you know, for those of you listening, I genuinely mean this when I say that Trevor has probably one of my top two or three podcasts that I listen to on a regular basis. And it's something that, man, from what I recall, you didn't even launch it that long ago. I want to say it was less than a year ago or just about.
Yes. Yeah. We launched the Carrot Cast August of last year. So it's a little over a year old. And yeah. Dude, one thing I want to toss out here that is a lesson that I learned in launching that is I was putting off doing that for so long. Like a lot of us put off doing things that, sure. that we should be doing. And the big mindset block that I had was, well, shoot, you know, I don't really want to come on and talk about real estate specifically stuff all the time or lead generation stuff. I want to talk about stuff that really amplifies entrepreneurs. How do we help people really run better businesses that have an advantage, but also that have passion, have purpose, and that we dial ourselves in. So that's what I get excited about the Carrot Cast, man. I think that's why a lot of people resonate too, is I open up behind the scenes of my own entrepreneur journey, which is pretty fun.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the words for it because you've always been somebody who's just super genuine, one of the most genuine, sincere, like transparent people I know. And that really comes across in the podcast. And so I'm kind of starting the show that way because I want to encourage you guys, you know, there's no affiliate link here or anything like that. I really just want to encourage you guys to check out Trevor's podcast, 100% packed with just content and just such great information. And the way you deliver the content in the podcast, the sincerity comes out. And brother, I just want to encourage you to just keep doing it, man, because I'm Sweet. Loving it. And I know a lot of people are as well. So just wanted to kind of throw that out there before we get going.
Appreciate it, man. It means a lot too. It means a lot. And every time I hop on the call with the customer, you know, probably 8 out of 10 times I get someone saying, hey, I listen to the podcast. And sometimes you put things out like that and you just don't know if it's hitting people or listening or people who listen to it. So, man, it means a lot to me, especially coming from you. So appreciate it.
One of the things I'll do as well is I want to say I was fortunate enough to be on episode, I want to say 6 or 7 or one of those early ones. And so I'll make sure to include that video in the link in the show notes page. But guys, I'm really excited, you know, to kind of go back and forth with Trevor here because, you know, talking about his podcast, there's been a handful that have really stood out to me. And one of the ones, and we're going to make this a bit different than that one, but one of the things that I really want to kind of dive into with Trevor here is he had an episode, and we can include that in the show notes page as well, about how do we stand out from a crowded competitive marketplace, right? How do we cut through the clutter, so to speak? And, you know, let's be honest, as investors, as wholesalers, we all buy houses with cash. We all, you know, take care of the closing costs and there's no fees or commissions. Like, that's not good enough in today's marketplace, right? What's your unique selling proposition? How can we stand out from the crowd? And so I got so much value from that particular episode and I wanted to have Trevor on here and maybe we can focus most of our time on giving you guys some strategy, really, because that's one of the things you talked about, right? It's not so much the tactics, but it's the strategy. How do we differentiate ourselves from our quote unquote competition to really not only grow our businesses, but make an impact on their life? And so I know that that's a lot to kind of throw at you, man. So I'm not really sure where you want to pick it up, but that's kind of what I want to focus on.
Dude, so I'm going to start with the word that you used there a couple of times, which is strategy, right? And the way that I always do stuff is I never talk down to someone. I usually bring someone up with high level stuff, right? Mm. And if any of this goes over anyone's head or you think it's a little bit beyond where you are, just know that this is where you need to go to really grow a great business. And you use the word strategy a lot and the word tactics. And I think The problem is most people are just out there using tactics. They learn something from someone that's a tactic. Hey, this particular direct mail piece or this particular thing on a website, or even just adopting what, you know, adopting our websites and going, well, I'm just going to put my personalization in there, my branding, but I'm going to use this as a tactic. Mm-hmm. That's great. But until you understand the strategy that went into making that work, does that work? Why is this business doing really good? Why does this tactic work? And what are the psychology principles behind it?
Yeah.
Then you really can't gain that freedom in your business because you're always relying on just strategy, but not understanding why that's, or you're relying on tactics, but not understanding why that tactic works. So that's the first thing is I would do is I'd really challenge everyone to become a student of psychology and a student of marketing, because no matter what business we're in, man, and you know it as good as I do, you're in the marketing business, right? Yeah. That's what it's, and that's an age old saying that goes around there. But I think a lot of people don't really internalize the fact that you are not in the real estate business. You're not in the flipping business. You're not in the wholesaling business. You're in the marketing business. So if you're not researching marketing every day or every week, at least, mm-hmm. and reading marketing books and getting around great marketers and keeping, like, anytime you see great marketing, a really good Facebook ad that hooked you, or I was just on an airplane flying back from a really high level mastermind, and I saw this ad that I've seen in there for like every time I've opened up the darn Alaska Airlines magazine for 7 years. It's the same ad. I'm like, that ad must be working.
Oh yeah.
I rip it out. I put it in my swipe file. If your mind isn't thinking in that way, you're going to be at a disadvantage from the people who are, because they're thinking about strategy. So
that's right.
Where I'm going to lead into now is, what is the strategy? And we're going to break apart the strategy that's going to help you cut through that clutter, that's going to help you stand out in your market, right? So we're in a cluttered market. You're in Miami, insanely competitive market. Mm-hmm. So like you mentioned, what most people are doing is they're going out there with the tactics. The tactic is the basic level of, we're going to put out marketing, letting people know that we buy houses. Here's some of the features and maybe some benefits of it. You know, we can close fast, all cash. Like you said, no fees, no commissions, things like that, right? You know, no repair. You don't have to do repairs. We'll pay them for them. It's the same thing that everyone's using. It's the same basic offer. And I'm going to walk people through this. We have a blog post on this. You know, I did an episode of the Carrot Cast on this. I can't remember which episode it was. But write these down, everyone, as you're listening to this, or at least take mental note, because this is one of the strategies behind why Carrot works so well. This is one of the strategies behind some of the biggest investors and how they're actually dominating their markets versus kind of having a tough time, is they understand the thought process by which your prospects, your best prospects, make a decision to work with the company. Mm-hmm. So let's roll it all the way back.
Okay.
The first thing that we all do when we're going to go buy something, or if we have a problem or we're looking for a service, is first of all, you have to be aware that you have a problem, right? And that's the first step, is if you're sending direct mail or you have ads up or whatever it is, and those are getting in front of someone who doesn't have the problem, they're not going to notice them. They could drive by that same billboard or get 20 pieces of direct mail. But if they don't actually need to sell their house, if they don't have the pain, of course, they're not going to pay attention to it. It's going to go in the, you know, in the mental trash bin. Now, that part's obvious. People are like, yeah, of course, that's obvious. So what people don't do is they don't make the bridge that I'm going to help you make here. So first, you have to be problem aware, and that's where most people's marketing is speaking to, just to the person who knows they have a problem, and now you're making them aware that there are solutions, right? So you're saying, okay, I know you need to sell your house, or I know you're looking for investment properties or whatever it is. I have a service that can help you with that, right? We buy houses. We can close fast, and here's some of the things that we do. So If all of your marketing is based on just the message of, we can buy your house, and then talking about features and benefits, you're only speaking to the person who's problem aware. Mm-hmm. Second stage is solution aware. So they know that they need to sell their house. Now they start to become aware of the bandit signs, of the direct mail pieces. They start to maybe do some Google searches, or they're more perceptive to the ads on Facebook now because they have the problem. They jump out to them. They're joining the conversation in their mind at that point. And then they start to do the research, and they get some of the direct mail pieces. And once again, they see the bandit signs or billboard, and they do some Google searches, and they've probably got 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different options or solutions that they have found in their research or just that have been dropped in front of them. They see this company that sent them a couple direct mail pieces and this billboard that they drive by all the time. That's an option. That's one of the solutions for them now. They did some Google searches and found three or four websites that, you know, you look at the website within 3 seconds, they could tell, well, yeah, this company looks like they can solve my problem. It says that they buy houses and here's some of the ways they do it. But now they have this profile and they're now solution aware. They're aware of the solutions out there. You know, even a real estate agent could be one of those possible solutions. And so how do we then change our marketing at that point? How do we change our marketing at that point to make sure that we're not just one of those seven or eight people that they get offers from and then they're just going to go with the highest offer?
Right.
So then you're competing on offer price. And that's, you don't want to be in that game. Like, that's almost, you're the Walmart of real estate investors. You guys are, it's a race to the bottom as far as margins goes.
Yeah, I really think if you're competing on price, which I want to say is what the majority of investors and wholesalers are doing out there, you're playing a losing game, you know? And as the market continues to get competitive, as more investors and wholesalers flood the market with bandit signs and direct mail, which we're seeing more and more of, it's making it increasingly challenging for people's businesses to grow and thrive. And so, you know, that's what we're talking about here. While this may not sound sexy, this is the type of stuff that I really think elevates your business and makes you stand out from everybody else. Because I guarantee you, Trevor, and you know, through your company, through OnCarat, you guys work with thousands of investors. I mean, it's got to be thousands at this point. I don't want you to get off topic, but what would you say? I mean, is this one of those key areas that really differentiates some of those top players that are your clients from, you know, the mom and pop operation that might do, you know, a couple houses a month or something?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a few things, right? I mean, having the right marketing plan, first of all, because we've seen it repeat hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of times. So we know exactly what works. We just have to crack through that mental clutter that people have and just say, just do this. Yeah. Like, here's the math. This works. Just do this. And it will work in most markets, depending on certain things. But yeah, I mean, the second part of it, the people who are doing really, really well with Carrot are the ones who implement what I'm about to talk about. So our websites, when you launch a website in our platform, has the messaging for problem aware people dialed in, right? It's like, it's dialed in. It's dialed in to perform on conversion rate. It's dialed in to really help you have a better chance of getting ranked well in your market versus just setting up your own WordPress site or going with our competitors. So we really take care of the problem aware and the part where it's making them solution aware and guiding them down those questions that they have when they're trying to vet and verify you.
Yep.
You know, well, how does this work? So I see that you have a service that it looks like it can solve my problem. The next thing that pops up in their brain is, how does it work? Mm-hmm. So you look at the top of our sites and our navigation bar, we've tested this so many times. Your navigation bar on your website shouldn't be a random sampling of whatever links you think you should throw up there. That's not based on how your prospect thinks. You need to be ordering your navigation bar in a way that your prospect is thinking, making decisions. So they're coming there to sell their house. They want to see, do you have a service that can help me? Okay. Your homepage is going to address that immediately and start to build credibility. Next, on the top of your navigation bar, the next question is popping up their brain is, well, how does this work? It looks like it can solve my problem, but how does it work? So there's a how it works link up there that guides them through. And then their next question is, cool, I understand how it works, but kind of like how is this different than like working with a real estate agent? So then we have a compare page on there that compares, like, here's how it's different. And then the next thing that pops up like, okay, so I understand kind of how it's different now, how it works. Of course, it looks like it can solve my problem, but is this company legit to work with?
Yeah.
Right? Like, are they the ones I should be working with? So then that's where it goes into testimonials and then your contact and your call to action, the way that we've set things up, it converts well. So we guide people through basically all of those stages of the decision-making process on that website. The part that our clients that are doing really well on is they then inject their credibility in a massive way, which I want to talk about now. So you've got the problem aware stage. They're aware of their problem, but they're not aware of the solution. So your marketing is, hey, here's the problem. Here's how we can solve it. Kind of vanilla ice, right? Yo, you got a problem. Whatever it is. So.
Yeah, no, I feel like now you got to follow through and sing, dude. It's like,
I know, man. I know.
If you got a problem, yo, I'll solve it. There we go.
There we go, dude.
I should probably never do that again, by the way.
Oh, I love it. So that's your problem aware. Solution aware is, okay, now I'm aware of these solutions out there, but which one should I go with, right? And then the next one is they go into vetting and verifying phase. Mm-hmm. And we have a whole graphic that we've made on a blog post. Maybe we'll shoot you the link and you can link it up in the show notes so people can see the graphic framework. So you can go, okay, this is exactly how to do all my marketing, how to bring someone from one phase to the next in my marketing. And you should have your marketing, whether it's your website or your direct mail pieces or your ads or all of it, your marketing should not speak to just one phase. And that's where people go wrong, is all their marketing speaks just to the problem aware person.
Yeah.
We have a service, here's what we can do, you know, opt in or call. But once they get to the vetting and verifying phase, they already know you can buy their house. So why are we showing them Facebook ads that only say we can buy your house? They already know that. So you're not tipping them over the edge anymore by delivering them the same message that they already know. They already know that you can solve that problem. Now they're going, are you the right one to do it for me? Mm-hmm. So in the vetting and verifying phase, we need to deliver credibility, right? We need to deliver, it could be testimonials. And one of the things I love to do with testimonials is, you'll see a lot of people that have testimonials, but they use them completely wrong, man. Like they're not getting the full benefit of a testimonial. They think that just by throwing up some words of what someone said, therefore I am using testimonials, therefore I will get the benefit from this. And that's not the case. So one thing I would do is I would grab a piece of paper and write down all of the big mental hurdles or the big objections that a seller or a buyer, whatever prospect you're going after, that a seller will have with not just you, but any company like yours. Okay. One of them that pops up, of course, is are they actually going to follow through on this offer that they're going to make me? Mm-hmm. You know, are they going to follow through on it? Write that one down. One other one that's really, really popular, are they going to lowball me? Because oftentimes people hear from their friends or just whatever that investors just throw out low offers.
Right. They'll try to steal your house or something. Right.
Exactly. And it could literally be those words. A next one, you have a lot more of these than I do, because you do this every day. But, you know, there's probably a whole list of these things or these fears in their brain or uncertainties in their brain that they're thinking. And what we have to do is write all those down so we know, because if you know they're thinking about it, we have to address each one of them. Mm-hmm. You have to address each one of them. The person who's able to knock down every one of their objections, and you guys know this on the sales side, when you're standing there with the seller, you, of course, have to build credibility, work through their objections, and then show them that you're the logical path to help solve their problem. And for some reason, we forget to do this on our website. So write down all those different problems that you've got. And this doesn't just apply to websites. It could apply to your credibility package when you're talking to them. It could apply to your direct mail pieces. And then let's say there's six or seven of those situations that they're probably thinking about, the fear of working with a company like ours. Find a testimonial that addresses each one of those. Mm-hmm.
So
we have some like really amazing testimonials that clients have, where there's this one, it's so funny. He's in Atlanta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And one of those questions is, well, shoot, is this type of person going to scam me? Like, are they legit and honest? And this lady on the video literally says, you know, my mother, she had a situation, we had to sell her house, and I got this mailing piece, and I was skeptical. Like she said these words, I was skeptical at first because you hear stories and this and that. So I decided to meet with them, and I actually went to the appointment with a shotgun in my back seat in my car. Like she says these
words.
You're
kidding me.
No. And she's just matter of fact about it. And then she basically went on to say, I met him, the person's name, and he walked me through the options and made me an offer that was really, really fair. It got us what we needed. And it made it so we could close really fast. And it was such an amazing experience. I've already referred two of my friends to them, and I would not hesitate at all. So like she basically told the fears that she had that other people are thinking and how you work through them. It's a law of contrast. And this is what people need to do in their testimonials. And this is part of how you build up your credibility profile when people are in that vetting and verifying phase, is the theory of contrast. Is in your testimonials, you always want to have how people changed by working with you. What was the before and what was the after? Okay, here's my situation before, and here's some of the thoughts that I had going through my brain that were hesitations. They addressed them, we worked through them, and I had a successful experience with you.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, man. As far as because we're talking about testimonials, and it's kind of funny, man. I don't know if you remember this, but I feel like I've been a customer of you guys pretty much since like the early days. You know, I want to say within a handful of months of you guys launching Carrot. And I remember at one point you guys were doing like a training webinar to your customers and your members, and you guys randomly chose like my website as an example of like what not to do on the testimonial. This is probably like 3-4 years ago, and I happened I saw that, and I was actually grateful. I remember I reached out to you, and you were like, "Yeah, dude, you got to do this, and you got to format it this way, and you got to include this." And it's made a big difference. I mean, when we go to closings, we always ask the sellers if they're willing to provide us with testimonials, and a lot of sellers will tell us, "I actually saw your testimonials." And in so many words, they basically confirm that it made a difference in their decision-making process. And one of the things I picked up from you is the about page and the testimonials page are viewed like, I don't know what the numbers are, but they're pretty up there, right?
Dude, yeah, according to our data, and it's been like this ever since we started Carrot, usually the number three most visited page on all websites on our system, doesn't matter if it's buyers, sellers, tenants, rent-to-own, doesn't matter, is the about page.
Yeah.
And then testimonials is right in there, number three, four, five, depending on the month, right? Mm-hmm. But if you start to think about why, right? So let's go down that chart. And once again, if you're listening to this on iTunes or wherever you are, look at the show notes. There'll likely be a link to that blog post that shows this chart on how people make decisions. The website or your marketing, whatever it is, direct mail, addresses the problem aware message. You have this problem. Here's exactly, we understand it, and here's how we can solve it, right? Then the next thing is, okay, now you understand that we have a solution. Well, here's how the solution works, your how it works stuff. Let's describe what the process looks like, things like that, right? FAQ type of stuff.
Yep.
And then it goes into vetting and verifying. So as soon as they get past in that first 5 or 10 minutes, the fact that they know that you likely have something that can solve their problem, they immediately go, okay, do I want to work with these people? So that's why they go to the about page. They want to see, who are these people? Like, are they real people? Are they scammers or whatever it is? And in general, it's just that people, this isn't the traditional way to sell a house, right? It's not the traditional way where people know what working with the real estate agent looks like. So we've got to make them feel insanely comfortable with the people behind the business. And then also have other people worked with them before. And some people who are newer investors might be going, well, shoot, I've never done a deal, so I can't do this. Well, that's not the case, because every single person listening to this has credibility in their life from their past experience. So if you've had a job and your boss, you know, it can give you a great testimonial on your character, awesome, get character-based testimonials on there. This says, hey, you know, I've been working with Alex for 6 years and he always does what he says. Mm-hmm. So you can bet if he says something, he's going to follow through on it. Cool.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
I was going to say that right there eliminates or addresses that fear that they have of, okay, is this person actually going to do what they say kind of
thing.
That's
right. No, man, and T, I'm so glad that you said that, because, you know, I don't want somebody listening in that maybe is just getting started or maybe hasn't done that many deals and maybe they haven't started collecting testimonials. I mean, damn, I think about me, the first 2-3 years I was in this business, I don't know, I did 100, 150 houses and I didn't even think to ask for a testimonial. And so I don't want the person listening to say, well, I don't have testimonials or I don't have that experience. You just gave, like, there's no excuse. Like, you can get testimonials from people that know you, from people that have had experience in dealing with you. It doesn't necessarily have to be a seller whose house you bought, you know?
And also, man, so you just mentioned you did a ton of deals without any testimonials, right? So that right there is proof that you don't have to have these. But then also, one thing that I want people to know is, as a market gets cluttered and they see that there's more solutions to choose from, they're going to do just the same thing that we do when we're making big buying decisions. Let's say you're at Home Depot or you're at the store, you're looking to buy that big TV or these big appliances or flooring for your stuff. What do? You whip out your phone, you look at the stuff, you look for the reviews, or if you're on Amazon, you look for the reviews. And I think all of us have had chance at parts in our life where we've either bought or didn't buy something because of just one review that we saw.
1,000%. I'll kind of take it a step further. My wife and I consider ourselves foodies, and we like, you know, going to different restaurants. And my wife is so influenced by Yelp reviews. Like, she will solely make a decision on, you know, when it's like her turn to kind of decide, or when she wants to like really go to a place, she always leans on the Yelp reviews. And I think it really speaks to your point, is that, you know, it makes a difference in our decision-making process, and your sellers are no different.
Yep. And on the psychology side, I mean, if you guys are students in psychology, which I highly suggest anyone who wants to be a great marketer should be, that's called social proof. It's people want to go down the path that other people have already tread. You know, most people aren't the pioneer type of person. They want to go, has this worked for other people? So that vetting and verifying phase is so important as you're trying to crack through that clutter, because as Alex mentioned, he did 100 plus deals without this. But the question is, how many deals did he lose when the clients went there to look for the credibility and didn't find it? Now, it could have been none. It could have been 50. We don't know. And especially when the competition's higher, that's what we're doing here, is we're going, okay, how can we give ourselves an edge when people get in that vetting and verifying phase, assuming that we've already taken care of a great marketing message, a great conversion tool, whether it's the website or whatever. Assuming that everything else is set up correctly before that, which we dialed it in on the carrot side, but look at your direct mail and everything else. Assuming everything else is dialed in before that to address the problem aware, solution aware, in the right path. Then the vetting and verifying phase is where we've got to build out a great about page. Nothing complicated, but just shows that you're human. It could be your team. It could be just you. It could be you and your family.
Yeah.
One of our clients, Brian Rockwell, out of Texas, out of Dallas, actually. He's been crushing it this year in his first year wholesaling. He did something like $87,000 in his second full month doing it, which is crazy. Like, that's not normal. It's just not normal. And that's in a really tough market. But he worked to go, okay, let me build out, even though he hadn't done a deal at that point to get his first one, let me build out a really good about page so people can feel good about me. So he's got a picture of him, his wife, their little kid. It's a good picture. Talks a little bit about his background. Hey, I've been a school teacher for the last 11 years or whatever it is, and I've got this passion for X, Y, Z and helping people. So we started a real estate business based on that passion. We're helping people do this, and this.
Yeah.
And here's our core values. Here's what we believe in. Integrity, this and that. And he actually puts those on there. So people, as they're making those decisions, if they connect with him better and they can see, man, he just looks like a great dude. He's got a family. He's got a kid. He has core values that I resonate with. You know what? I'm going to work with him.
Yeah. And I think what I really want to stress, Trevor, that I'm sure you'd probably back me on this is, and I think this is just good advice across the board with whatever you're doing in your life, is just be you, you know, be real, be authentic. That's who people want to connect with, regardless of, you know, if you have a different personality type, you're going to attract the type of people that you want to work with. And I think you can't go wrong if you're just yourself. And if that comes across on your about page, and man, you know, I want to hold myself accountable, because, you know, we customize our about page. But as I'm thinking about it, I know that I'm not playing at the highest level I could play at. And I could get more personal, and I would probably attract more of the types of sellers and clients that we're looking for. So I appreciate this conversation, because I know, me knowing this, I need to internalize this more and even help take this to another level. So I mean, this is the kind of stuff that really makes you stand out from everybody else.
And dude, part of it goes back to strategy again, right? Using those words, strategy and tactics. So if you're using this stuff as a tactic, it's probably not going to work as good as you're hoping it will. If you're going, okay, as a tactic to dupe people into this, I'm going to build out some really cool stuff on my about page and whatever. Like, if you go look at our about page, on carrot.com/about, I think it is, or something like that. We built that out and we've really honed it in. We made a really great video that's up there now. We put it up there about a month ago. And that's part of our core strategy in our business. It's, you know, that about page, we didn't put up there because, okay, we think by making this a better about page, it's going to increase our conversions. We did it because we want to put out to the world what we truly believe in and who we really are, because that's a part of what our core business, like our core business is going out there and amplifying people and amplifying leaders and leading with our core values. So, we put that up there as a strategy in our business there. And then, oh, by the way, the tactic within there that works on the performance side is it helps people connect with us better and they end up buying because, it, like, you know, I believe in what those people believe in.
Yeah, you know, it's I'm on your about page right now, and I'm instantly drawn to, you know, almost everybody in the picture smiling. Everybody, it just looks warm, inviting. The formatting of it, it's just broken up, so it's just easy to pick out, like, the things that you want that person to, or the things that you want to stand out to the visitor. And then the Meet the Carrot team, right? You have personalized pictures on there with, like, a tiny little blurb. I mean, it just feels warm and inviting. And I really think this is, like, a perfect page to emulate in what we can do in our house buying business. Just make it you. Yep. Don't like, swipe and copy some other page just because, to your point, it's a tactic. It should be more of a strategy in who you are.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So here's a couple things, too. So I know before the call we were talking about some other stuff. So how else can people kind of crack through that clutter, kind of using that over? I way overuse that phrase, but I'm going to use it again. So how do you crack through that clutter in that market? So what I just talked about, I laid out the strategies and then some tactics that can work for you. And, you know, dialing those testimonials, bringing those situations that your seller is likely having fears, frustrations about working with you. And as you go, getting testimonials that address each one of these. And then some of the formatting stuff on it, like you mentioned, you guys can go check out Alex's site or I know we have a video up in our YouTube channel that's about testimonials. So if you go to our YouTube channel, Investor Carrot. Yeah,
we'll link put that it up in the show something. Notes page for sure.
Yeah, and there's a video that walks through exactly how to format a testimonial so people notice them, because one of the biggest mistakes that people do is they get a great testimonial and then it's a big old block of text on there with no headline, nothing's bolded. And you should always read your testimonial, find that one sentence in there, those eight words that is the most impactful part of it that you want to bring out. Bring that part out, put it as a little headline above it, bigger text, bold. Because what people do is on marketing, they scan and they scroll, and you want to have things jump out in their eye so they can notice those, and they're gonna notice those little headline blurbs, you know, followed through on the offer that they presented, whatever, and then offered exactly what we needed on the house. So that addresses another, and then they can read the full testimony if they want to with the picture and stuff. So yeah, we have stuff on that. The next thing is people are probably going, well, how do I get a testimonial, right? Because a lot of people are afraid of asking for it. This mastermind I was at just this last week or this week is one of the highest level masterminds, not in real estate, but in just like entrepreneurship stuff. It's $25,000 a year. Amazing people. There's people there that one guy has a $60 million a year business. It wasn't Seth that I mentioned before. It's another guy. But even in that room with really high level people, there were people saying, well, I always hate asking for, you know, testimonials from people. I'm like, well, quit asking for testimonials. Do it this way. So here's the way that we do it. And it's a quick little hack that could change your mindset around asking for testimonials and getting rid of that fear. Because the thing that most people do when they ask for testimonials, in their mind, they're asking someone to give you something. You're saying, give me this. I want something from you that is going to serve me and not serve you. Yeah. Right. And that's one of the reasons people are doing that. So flip it around the way that we do it here at Carrot. And it's not, once again, it's not a tactic. There's a strategy behind what we're doing, but the strategy is that we actually care. We actually give a crap about what our clients are doing. And it turns into an effective tactic to get testimonials is we reach out to people that we know had success with us. And of course we have thousands of customers, so it's not something we can reach out to everyone that has success, but anytime it pops up and we see them in live chat and we see that they're having success, we'll then ask some questions and we'll say, hey, you know, do you have any feedback so far? Let's use this on the investor side, right? So you close a transaction and you're talking with the seller or someone, whoever it is that's closing it with you, or it could even be your title agent. Let's say you don't go to your closings anymore, but you pay your title agent and you're going to give them $50 for every testimonial that they're able to get from the seller, like incentivize the title agent. So what the title agent should do is not say, hey, can you give me a testimonial? And there shouldn't be a sheet that they're passing in front of them, part of the closing documents, give me a testimonial. Say, hey, you know, I know the team worked with you through this and there were some bumps, but we got it done. Is there any feedback you can give us that can help us really do things better? Because we're always really looking to improve and better serve our clients like you. Is there anything that we can do better? And if there was, they're going to give you feedback, right? Write that down because you genuinely want to make your service better. You need it. The next thing is, sweet. So what did you really love about the service? Like, did we solve your problem? Is this something that really, you know, solved that pain that you had? You're kind of asking those types of questions and they're going to be, oh my gosh, you guys are amazing. you know, and as they start to talk, kind of dig into some of those things more.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. It's so yeah, I mean, so close on time was really important to you. Did you work with any other investors or talk to any other people that you're kind of nervous about them closing? Or, yeah, I got two other offers from the other people and that just didn't work, whatever. And then as soon as they talk that through, go, oh my gosh, we work with a lot of clients like you, and there's a lot of other investors out there who just don't do business the way that we do. And it'd be so helpful for them and for us to be able to get in front of more of those people. If you could share that story, what you just said there, would you mind, could we write that down, or could you write that down, or even better, could we film it really quick? Just kind of you saying that again. And then that'll really help us pass that message along to other sellers so they don't get locked into those other guys that might not serve them as well.
Dude, that is so good. And let me share a quick personal story. The last couple closings that we had, my transaction coordinator actually attends the closing and makes the seller feel just warm and inviting and, you know, personal. And so I know these sellers were happy with our service. And yet when the closing was done, I don't even ask about, was the wire sent or anything like that. First thing I'm asking is, did you get a video testimonial? And the last couple closings, our transaction coordinator, Elizabeth, told me, she's like, actually, I wasn't able to get it. They weren't comfortable on camera. And then I said, well, how did you go about it? And she said, well, actually, I just asked them if they wouldn't mind sharing a testimonial with us and if I could create it. And I'm almost certain that if we approach it going forward the way you just kind of framed it, it'll make people feel much more comfortable. Because the truth, Trevor, is that a lot of people just don't want to be on camera, but you kind of need to give people a reason why, you know, and kind of get them involved in the process and helping you help more people.
And that's the thing, because like I said, when you're asking for a testimonial, you're detracting, you're trying to suck something out of that person for only your gain. There's no gain for them in that transaction at all. So when you're doing it from the feedback side of things, and you're really eliciting and really genuinely wanting good feedback, and then you want to talk about what worked well for them so you can celebrate with them, and you're like smiling about it. And that's what we'll do with our clients. Like, oh man, that's so sweet, guys. I love, you know, you being able to get that result. That's amazing. What did you do? This, that. Is there anything that we can do better? What was the best part of that? Whatever it is. And then every time, dude, I'm like, that's such a great story. So many other people would love to hear that. Would you be game if we like shared that in some way? It could be a carrot cast or just shoot me an email every time they do it, because that's they awesome. Want to share now.
Yeah.
And it comes from authenticity, right? That's not a tactic. It's a true strategy of mine that we want to continually get better. And it's a true strategy of mine that I truly believe people need to hear from other people like them to actually make change in their life oftentimes. So if we're going out there to truly create change for our clients and attract more people, and because I'm confident that we are the best in the world at what we do. I have no equivocation on that. Uh-huh. So I know that if someone goes with our competitors, they're flat out not going to get the same result they will with us. So I'm like, I need to take your story, get it in front of other people like you, because we are the best in the world that can help them. I know we can.
Yeah.
And let's do that. So I love it. One last thing, I'm going to make a clear transition because I know we're running short on time here, is something that a lot of people are doing as far as they're looking at other competitors or big national sites, right? Like opendoor.com and some other ones where they're going, well, let's go copy what that big national site's doing. If they're doing it, therefore it must be working, and therefore it must work for me. Uh-huh. And one thing that a lot of people are missing when they're doing that is they're looking at the tactics. Once again, they're looking at the tactical side of that marketing that they see. They're looking at the website. What does the website look like pretty wise? Like, does it look really pretty and have this big layout and whatever it is? They're looking at maybe the direct mail piece and, you know, here's this pretty looking direct mail piece or an ugly looking one or whatever. But they're not digging deep and going, okay, what is the strategy that's actually making this work? Like, why is it working? And with Open Door, we hear that all the time from people. You know, Open Door, if people aren't familiar with it, it's a venture capital funded house buying business, basically, that has bought thousands of homes in the last couple of years, mainly in Phoenix and some other markets. And they have hundreds of millions in venture capital behind them. They have a big technology team. They have a huge team. And they're just buying up houses left and right in those markets. And they have an amazing looking website. And we've seen a lot of people start to go, I want a website that looks like that. But here's the deal. the website design by itself isn't what's making it work. Okay. We can throw up a pretty website all day long. It doesn't mean it's going to perform better. It doesn't mean that the single form field option performs better. We've been testing that for 6 to 8 months across dozens of websites. Mm-hmm. And in some markets it won, some markets it miserably lost. Okay. Like in a bad way. That's why we haven't rolled it out to our user base yet, because people are like, hey, I want the open door style. It's like, sweet, but the data doesn't show that it actually works as well in all these markets. Demographics are completely different. What makes Open Door work so well is their offering. It's their unique selling proposition. It's crazy transparency in pricing. Okay, that's one of the big questions that's going to pop up for your prospects is, am I going to get a fair offer? Mm-hmm. And can I make it make sense how you came to that offer? Because if I can't make sense of it in my mind, how you came to that offer, and it seems like it is fair to me, then I'm going to feel like I'm probably getting ripped off. Mm-hmm. Therefore, lack of trust in you and your process. Therefore, I work with someone else.
Yeah.
So Open Door, one of their core strategies in their business is transparency. It's not a tactic. It's transparency. We're going to show you exactly how we come to our price that we're offering you. We're going to show you before you ever call us. It's not something you have to talk with us and ask. It's on our website. And it's like 6% of market value. We're going to deem true market value, and we're going to agree in market value. And then if you need repairs, and you know, we'll take repairs off, and that'll be after we walk through your house and just go through a repair list. And if you're in a part of town or whatever that has a high risk where it's harder to sell houses there, then there's between a 1% and 6% fee there. And so they're laying it out. Like, even though you don't know the exact offer price when you go to the website, you have to go through their process to get it. You can see how they're coming to it.
Right.
And also they have a near instant offer too. So that's part of their technology solutions. You go through, you fill out all the stuff, and then it gives you an offer instantly.
Within a couple of minutes, right?
Within a couple of minutes. So they've put in hundreds of thousands of dollars into building a technology solution that does that. Mm-hmm. And then of course they have real people that then go and if someone accepts the offer, then they go look at the house, repairs, they take it off, they look at where it is and see if there's a market risk for that particular market. They add on those fees, and then they go, okay, here's the market value of the house. We're going to show you real comps and this and that. So,
right. Yeah. And to your point, I mean, I'm on their site, and you know, the two pages I'm on, if you click on how it works, it's just a simple timeline that walks the home seller, the visitor, exactly what's going to happen. And so you remove that doubt or that confusion. And so I compare this to what most wholesalers do, and I'll throw myself in there again. This is one of those areas where I got to hold myself accountable and see how we can do more. Is, yeah, we're previewing what's to come in the appointment. We're telling the seller that, you know, ABC and what's going to happen, but is that good enough? And my gut's telling me it's not, you know? So it's like, how can we embed more transparency into what we're doing? Just to be fully vulnerable here, like, one of the things that immediately comes to mind is, for us in our market, you know, we're 100% wholesaling these properties. At this point, we're not closing on them. And so I'm thinking to myself, and so I'm sharing this because I'm guessing that somebody listening in might be thinking the same thing, is, well, man, do I want to share with the seller that I'm ultimately not the buyer if I'm planning on assigning this contract? You know, could that work against me? Am I kind of shooting myself in the foot? And so, you know, I just kind of toss it out there because I wonder what the fine line is between just being fully, fully transparent in everything you're doing versus maybe not, and finding other strategy. And I'm not saying there's a right or a wrong. I'm just kind of throwing it out there because I think it's an interesting dialogue that we could potentially have.
So here's what I'll throw out to you, man, is this right here. Okay. I heard a great quote from I'm a good friend of mine. He's an amazing copywriter, amazing marketer. And he didn't invent it, he heard it from someone else. It's one of his mentors. But he said, every business, all of us people too, but every business has skeletons in our closet, right? And by skeletons, those could be, those usually things that you would usually not want your prospects to see. Like, you're like, well, I think if they see this, and that's going to give me a disadvantage, and it's going to open up these questions and maybe put me at a weak spot and not be able to close the transaction, right? One of those is the wholesaling part. That's a skeleton that you guys try to kind of hide because we think it's a weakness. Now, the second part of it is most people keep those skeletons in the closet, or most businesses do. And what happens is your prospects are always searching for those skeletons, right? Whether they say that they are or not, they're searching for them. If they find the skeleton, it immediately makes you less credible. Immediately.
Yeah. Agreed.
If you show them the skeleton and you make it dance, they say, take those skeletons out of the closet and make it dance. What that means is those things that you feel are a disadvantage in your business, make them an advantage in your selling process. So here at Carrot, we're the most expensive in the market. We are proud of that. That's part of our marketing message. And we make it logical why you should go with us, because we're the most expensive, because we invest heavily in our customer support and success. Like, we have more resources and money because we're more expensive to invest heavily in you succeeding. We are more expensive because we do a lot of things that our competitors don't do that actually give you a better result. And if you lose just one deal a year because our competitors aren't doing these things, or your WordPress site you set up isn't doing these things, how much does that cost you? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50K. So that makes us being expensive a good thing. So for you guys on the wholesaling side of things, I don't think I've ever really seen anyone do this, but I would run with this, man, that a lot of people are nervous. I don't want to put on there that I buy houses because I'm not actually closing on any of them. Well, don't put that then. Say that we are, we are the number one most trusted matchmaker between qualified cash buyers and motivated house sellers that need to sell fast. And we're going to match you with the best buyers in the market who can close within days.
Yeah.
And that right there could then make it, hey, well, why is this better than going direct? Well, because we can, blah, 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 whatever it is, find up some reason why that's better. Can happen quicker or this or that, or, it doesn't matter, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You could even talk about how it's safer that you work with multiple buyers because if they're working with just one buyer who is the end buyer, what if they back out? You have no other option. But you work with 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 of the best buyers in town, and you're going to ensure that there's a transaction that closes if you sign a contract or something like that, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I love it. Yeah, no, T, man, every time I connect with you, man, my wheels go spinning in my head. So I think it's awesome, man. I'm all about transparency, and I think it's super cool. And you're right, man. I don't know anybody out there doing that. And that right there could be a way to stand apart, from your competition and cut through the clutter, which is, I think we succeeded, man. I think this is going to open up eyes to a lot of people that listen to this particular episode and say, well, how can I level up? How can I do more? How can I, lead with strategy, not with tactic, right? How come ultimately, yes, this is a business. We want to generate revenue. We want to live the lifestyles we want to live, but we're impacting people positively or negatively. And hopefully that's positively. Hopefully you're helping people. These sellers need our help. And yes, we're not for everybody, right? But we're for a lot of people, and it's about getting in front of the right people. And so, yeah, man, I think this is awesome. I really hope that this sparks some sort of thought or dialogue for other investors and wholesalers across the country to do more. Because, man, one of the things that, and I'll kind of end on this, and I'll kind of give you some parting thoughts, but, you talk about skeletons. I don't know that our community, that our industry is looked at with the best set of eyes, right? Yeah. I don't know if the optics are what I would want them to be. And so how can we do better as investors, as a community? Because, if you ask the average person, the We Buy Houses people, are they thinking something positive or are they thinking something negative? And whether you know it or not, that's impacting your business. It really is.
Yep. So, man, and on this, and I'll leave it with this right here, because that's a great, I think that's a great challenge that you threw out to people right there, man, is, and I throw this out to people all the time. I threw it out at a big real estate mastermind a few months ago to some of the biggest investors in the country. And I'm like, that exact thing right there, that mortgage professionals, real estate professionals, attorneys consistently are among the least trusted professions on all those lists that come out, right? Mm-hmm. And when you look at every one of them, you look at a mortgage broker, why is it that they're least trusted? I don't think it's because the people are bad people. It's because the process is almost never transparent. And you always have this thing in the back of your mind going, am I getting ripped off? Because you don't understand the rate spread, and you don't understand all that stuff. So it may not be the people, it's the process. So what can we do in our process in any business we have to increase transparency so the person feels confident that they go, okay, this makes sense to me. It makes sense the way that you're going to be, you know, how your offer came to this. You're not trying to hide it. And it could literally be, there's a couple things that we've done with some clients. We're testing some stuff, but how do you present your offer? Do you present your offer in this one page offer sheet and stuff? Take a darn really good screenshot of one of them, a sample one, you know, so it's a good screenshot. Upload that in a good visual on your website and show, hey, this is what's going to happen after you call us. We're going to give you an offer. It's going to look like this.
Yeah.
And we're going to put your offer here, and here's this, and here's this. And how did we come to that offer? Well, we came to the offer. First off, we look at fair market value, and here's how we do that. Next, we're going to look at your house and see what repairs there are. And we're going to walk you through that. And you're going to be able to see if there's any repairs, because in order to sell it to an end buyer, these have to be made. Uh-huh. And then from there, of course, we're in business. We make a profit. And that's what a lot of those house flippers and wholesalers, they're afraid to do, is like, oh, I don't want to put how much profit I'm getting. Why? They know you're making a profit. Yeah. You might as well at least show them what you're making. Maybe not down to the dollar, but they probably think you're making a lot more than you actually are. And, you know, and just make it obvious to them, and you work it all down. Of course, we're in business, just like any business. We sell a service, and the service is highly valuable to those who it fits. Mm-hmm. And somewhere in there is our profit at the end of the day. But we've got to do all this work. We've got to take on the risk. We've got to do the repairs. We've got to then sell it and all this kind of stuff. You know, so therefore, this is how you see our value in this equation. Yeah. If you can find some way to tell that, I mean, it's going to really open up that transparency. Then it becomes a transaction like you're going into a store. You can see a price. Yep, that's fair. That's not okay. I'm going to go with it. So
very cool, man. I love it, man. Well, this is the kind of conversation that really, really just sparks a lot of ideas. And like I said, it gets my wheels turning. And so I've taken away, you know, I selfishly, I'm so fortunate to, like you, Trevor, with Caracast, man, that we get to do this and host people. Mm-hmm. And then I get to connect with people like you, because I always take some things away from this that I can implement in my business and just be a better version of myself and a better leader. And so I really hope that's coming across the mic here, and that people, that this message resonates with people, and that we do more, not only for our businesses, but for the community. But dude, wrapping up really quick, man, I think I mentioned earlier, I've been a customer of Carrot for years. I will continue to remain a customer. It's something I truly believe in Trevor and his team. From a customer service perspective, just hands down, one of the best out there, and fantastic product. And so I want to share that with you. I do have an affiliate link that if you guys want to check out, if you go to flipempire.com/carrot. And Trevor, man, maybe in 30 or 60 seconds for people that might not be as familiar with your product and the service, can you just kind of quickly tell people, you got so many customers out there, but just in case somebody hasn't heard of what you guys do, if you can kind of, you know, just give them a glimpse as to how you can potentially help them.
Yeah, man. So we help our clients attract, convert, and then you know, manage those more leads from the internet. So if you're sellers or buyers for land and notes and houses and whatever it is, they're going to Google. They're searching phrases like "sell my house fast, Miami," "sell my house," whatever it is, whatever phrases they're searching. Our software helps you get a better chance of getting in front of them. And then we have great training and support and coaching that goes into those plans. And then we have other parts in our software that helps you track your marketing better, so you know it's working. And all along the way, we've got great service and structure to help you succeed. And I think that's the biggest thing, man, is there will be people who go, okay, I can go emulate this and have success from it. You might be able to. But the big gap between most people going out there and copying a tactic versus knowing the strategy that's making it work is when the rubber hits the road and you're wanting to scale things up, or you're wanting to crack through and actually get the result. Do you have the people to turn to, the coaches to turn to, the process, the strategy people to turn to help make sure you're going the right direction? That's where we really excel with our clients.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, guys, in wrapping up here, really appreciate you taking the time to listen in on another masterclass here. And I look forward to connecting with you on the upcoming Q&A. I want to encourage you, use the search bar on the site. If there's a particular topic or something that you want to learn more about, chances are we've covered it, or we've had an expert on here talking about it, or maybe it's a Q&A show that I did a deep dive on. So plug it in there. I want to encourage you to use that search bar, and if give me feedback, you know, shoot me me an email, alex@flipempire.com. Connect with me. Let me know how I can continue to improve the podcast and how I can bring you the type of content and the value that you need to really level up your business and just help you become a better leader. You know, that's one of the things that I think is one of Trevor's passion and his calling is just amplifying leaders. And that's something that I kind of want to piggyback on here and a challenge to you guys. So really appreciate the time and team, my man, you're awesome, dude. Keep rocking, bro.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, everyone. Have a great rest of the week.
All right. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.